Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. E. Michael Jones, who is the editor of Culture Wars, Mike's latest effort for Culture Wars in the April 2007 edition of that publication is well worth your time. He has a post there entitled The Death of Conservatism, which is issued in against the backdrop of a book review of Murray Friedman's that Mike has put forth. Murray Friedman wrote a piece entitled The Neoconservative Revolution, Jewish Intellectuals and the Shaping of Public Policy. A lot of information there in regard to evaluating that book that we see this morning coming to us from Dr. E. Michael Jones. And then there's the Barnes Review on pages 19 through 24 of the July-August 2007 edition of the Barnes Review. We see something entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar, Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. That is the interview that Dr. E. Michael Jones has given to the Barnes Review, where he discusses a series of things, several of which were alluded to by our caller this morning from Florida. This is a very, very important piece, this interview that E. Michael Jones has done for the Barnes Review, because it gets into what I think is a systematic repudiation of the falsehoods that are behind the Christian Zionist movement, the falsehoods that are being promoted daily right here in San Antonio by John Hagee. And lest we forget this, John Hagee, folks, with what he is doing with his Christians United for Israel organization, is promoting what I believe biblically to be the worldwide apostasy that we are warned about in Scripture. Isn't it interesting to see the way in which Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and whereby we see a false gospel being promoted by Christian Zionism? It is a gospel that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. When we look at the kingdom of God, as Jesus teaches it to us in the New Testament narrative, it becomes abundantly clear that the kingdom of God is inclusive. You can belong to the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, regardless of what racial background you have. That is clearly the teaching of the New Testament. Jesus goes on to say that those who claim racially to be sons of Abraham and are not, because they reject Jesus Christ, they might be sons of Abraham, but they are not spiritual followers of Abraham, Jesus says. And because they are not spiritual followers of Abraham, they are excluded from the kingdom of God, because they have rejected the free gift of God, which is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That is also the teaching of the New Testament. The New Testament teaches us about a kingdom of God in Jesus that is based upon forgiveness, that is not rooted in power or control or money, that it is not rooted in the coercion of others, that is not rooted in violence, that is not rooted in a physical political kingdom. Therefore, when we look at what Jesus says about the kingdom of God, and how that in turn is based on a proper understanding of the new covenant of Jeremiah chapter 31 in the Old Testament, how is it that all of this, which is contradicted by Christian Zionism and by the sort of ideology that John Hagee is promoting through his Christians United for Israel, there is such a contradiction there that it begs the question as to why more people cannot see it. And when you look at what E. Michael Jones has said today in his interview with the Barnes Review, it becomes abundantly clear that there is a conflict that will not go away, and that that conflict basically embodies a central core difference between truth and falsehood. Who is with light and who's with darkness? We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll have Dr. E. Michael Jones after the break. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
We're back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're now joined by Dr. E. Michael Jones, the editor of Culture Wars. I would recommend to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, his review, Mike Jones' review, of Murray Friedman's book, which you will find in the April 2007 Culture Wars, pages 40 through 47. It's entitled The Death of Conservatism, and it will give the rest of us a bird's-eye view as to how the American right was infiltrated through such auspices as those of William F. Buckley and National Review. Dr. E. Michael Jones has also given a very fine interview to the Barnes Review. It's entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. That is a must-read at the Barnes Review. That is the July-August 2007 edition of that publication. The interview with Dr. E. Michael Jones is contained on pages 19 through 24 of the Barnes Review. Mike, how you doing? Where are you? I know that you're in transit somewhere. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I have to go to Spokane, Washington for a wedding, but I'm on the road, so it's good to be with you, Mark.
Hey, I tell you, it's good to have you, Mike, and to have you on under circumstances where obviously your sacrificial spirit is coming forth to the rest of us once again, where you're taking this kind of time to share with us all that you bring to the table in regard to so many different subjects, Mike. I had a caller in Florida who asked me to ask you about an article that you wrote for Culture Wars, he thinks maybe a couple of years ago, about
an attempt to rebuild the Jewish temple in the ancient Roman Empire with reference to Julian the Apostate. Do you remember that article and where we might find it?
Yeah, it's in Culture Wars. I don't know the exact date, but if you call us at 574-289-9786 or go to the website and contact us, we'll get you a copy. It's also a chapter in the book, the forthcoming book on the Jewish revolutionary spirit.
So that's 574-289-9786 for the phone number, or culturewars.org?
Culturewars.com.
.com. It's culturewars.com. And Joe can, through one of those means, find this the specific information as to how to get a copy of that article.
Yeah, it was one of these crucial stories in history about Julian the Apostate's attempt to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem.
I will be interested in getting a copy of that article myself, and I will contact Culture Wars and get a copy of that so that I can read it, because there's so much information. I feel like I'm doing so much work to get caught up in all of this knowledge through sources like you, Mike, and I will repeat this information between 9 and 10 o'clock this morning as to how people can contact you at culturewars.com, both through the telephone number or the website, to get copies of this article on Julian the Apostate, as well as many, many other things. And I would like to say on the air for the record that I am now a subscriber to the print version of Culture Wars and have not been disappointed. I've gotten a couple of issues now, and there's so much stuff that's contained there that is over time going to bring me up to speed on things that I've been kept in the dark about for many, many years as an Orthodox Lutheran. Orthodox Lutherans have not been exposed to much of this information for some of the same reason that many fine Roman Catholic people have been kept in the dark up to this point. And clearly you're one of the folks that we rely upon to bring us up to speed on those things that the establishment does not want us to know, which leads me to your book that's coming up, Mike, The Spirit of Jewish Revolution. Why did you write the book, and what are some of the main themes that are in it?
Well, the original occasion for this thing was Daniel Goldhag's attack on Pius XII. This occurred in the early, around 2000, around that time. And at this point, it had been almost 40 years since Vatican II, Nostra Aetate, and we were told that there was going to be this new era of cooperation between Jews and Catholics. And here's this guy basically lying about Pius XII and saying that the Catholic Church, is intrinsically evil and wicked, anti-Semitic to the core. This is after 40 years of dialogue, and I thought, well, what's going on here? And so I started to look into this whole thing, and I started to realize that what we have here is basically a total subversion of the traditional theology, the traditional explanation, the theological explanation of the Jews. That's what's been suppressed for 40 years now if you're a Catholic, and probably longer if you're a Protestant. And it's been replaced, especially among certain Protestant circles, by this dispensationalist theology, which is basically a tool of Zionism. So I think the theology underpins everything that we do, and so basically it was an attempt to go back to the sources and find out what are the theological roots here? What's the real basis for this distinction between Christian and Jew? That's what got me started.
Well, I will encourage you by saying that in this Orthodox Lutheran Church, where I am teaching a class tonight, your interview with the Barnes Review is going to be a part of the material that is distributed to the members of my class, because it's helping to connect a series of dots that we've been trying to connect in this class at Emmanuel Lutheran Church here in San Antonio on this whole business of Christian Zionism and John Hagee. Number of members of my congregation have said, Pastor, where is this guy Hagee coming from in all of this? And I said, I think I need to do my job and to sit down on Wednesday nights and to go through this. We have taken some of Luther's materials on this subject. We are looking at a book that comes out of the Reformed tradition, written by Dr. Oswald T. Alice, a very fine repudiation of dispensationalism coming out of the Princeton-Westminster tradition, dating back to 1945. And then, of course, there's the material that Dr. E. Michael Jones and Mark Glenn, a couple of Orthodox Roman Catholics, bring to the fore in regard to evaluating Christian Zionism from that tradition. And it's really beginning to help my people to understand some of the essential falsehoods that are represented by Hagee and Falwell and Pat Robertson and Hal Lindsey, and that this stuff is not simply an academic theological debate, but we're talking about something that is imperative to understand because of the way it seems to me in which this Christian Zionist movement is moving us toward a third world war.
That's absolutely right. It's absolutely crucial to understand the theological roots because they have political consequences. And so, I mean, to cut to the chase, to get to the heart of the matter, you have to say, who are the children of Moses? Who are the children of Abraham? This is the theological issue. And if you can't answer that question, you're going to be in trouble politically. We're going to have World War IV or III or whatever you want to call it unless we can answer this question. That's what we got to do right now. And I'm saying to answer that question, you have to go back to the Gospel of St. John. Go to that confrontation between Jesus Christ and the Jews. When the Jews come to Jesus Christ and they say, we are the children of Moses. We are the children of Abraham. And Jesus says to them, if you were the children of Moses, you would accept me. You want to kill me. Your father is Satan. That's the turning point in history. That's the turning point in history. And if you don't understand that, you're not going to understand anything theologically. You're not going to understand what is happening right now politically.
Well, I've been trying to make this point in my class in at Emmanuel Lutheran Church on Wednesday nights. And to me, in your interview with the Barnes Review, Mike, you bring this to the fore very quickly in the front page of that interview. You say that the Jews who accepted Jesus Christ were the children of Moses, and they became the church. The Jews who rejected Jesus Christ are not the children of Moses. They became the synagogue of Satan, the Jewish revolutionaries. Now, that term, the synagogue of Satan, of course, references Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, with what Jesus indicates to John needs to be said in a warning to the church at Smyrna in regard to this business of the synagogue of Satan. How does this whole business play out in terms of the absolute context in which we need to refute Mr. Hagee on these subjects?
Well, if the Jews... first of all, okay, the Jews who rejected Jesus Christ are not the children of Moses. The Jews who accepted Jesus Christ are the children of Moses. They are the new Israel. They are the continuation of the promise from Abraham and Moses. So if that's the case, we can't say that the people, the Russians who took over Palestine, are the children of Moses. That's not logical. All those promises that apply don't apply to these people. So you have to cut out all of this theological, blocking, as in the football term, and just deal with this situation as a political situation. Okay, they have no, in other words, the Israelis have no theological mandate to steal that land from the Palestinians.
Yes, and that essentially it seems to me, Mike, that what we have here, reading through your interview with the Barnes Review, is a situation where the dispensationalist mindset rejects the clear teachings of Jesus in favor of this bizarre esoteric interpretation of the scriptures, of course, rooted in Darby in the 19th century, rooted in the Scofield Reference Bible, which tries to take obscure, bizarre, illogical arguments rooted in a particular personalized view of apocalyptic literature, and to bring this together in a way that is absolutely contradictory when it comes to seeing the basic teachings of Jesus about the children of Moses and about the whole way in which Jesus has certain fundamental teachings about the character of God's kingdom in Jesus that don't square with Christian Zionism at all.
No. And I think one of the fundamental problems from the Protestant point of view is going to be the notion of what the church is. Okay? Now, these people, the Hagees of the world, have a very confused idea of what the church is. The church, according to traditional teaching, is the new Israel. Okay, we are the children of Moses, according to that traditional teaching. The church is not something you set up in some place, one way or the other. This is a continuation of the Israel of Abraham and Moses.
We'll be back with Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. Take a look at his interview in the Barnes Review from pages 19 through 24. We'll be back with Mike. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars. Take a look at the April 2007 Culture Wars, pages 40 and following, for Dr. E. Michael Jones' review of Murray Friedman's book, The Neoconservative Revolution, Jewish Intellectuals and the Shaping of Public Policy. That's a Cambridge University Press publication. Dr. E. Michael Jones reviews Friedman's book in the context of what is entitled The Death of Conservatism. Folks, if you've not understood, as I have not understood for many years, what happened to the American right after World War II, what Dr. Jones shares with us in Culture Wars in April of 2007 will go a long way toward opening up your eyes. It certainly opened up my eyes. And then we look at what Mike has shared with the Barnes Review in the July-August 2007 edition, pages 19 through 24. He has given the Barnes Review a very, very fine interview entitled Traditional Catholic Scholar Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. Mike, back to our conversation about the Barnes Review interview. You make reference to the fact that Barabbas, the New Testament Barabbas, was a political revolutionary. There's also reference in your interview with the Barnes Review about a newly released book from Princeton University Press by Peter Schaefer. It's entitled Jesus in the Talmud. Just taking this theme that Barabbas was a revolutionary and with reference to Dr. Schaefer's book, what are the implications of just those two things alone in regard to what has been going on politically these last 21 centuries?
Well, first of all, as I said, the Jews at the time of Jesus had to either accept him or reject him as the Messiah. The Jews who accepted him became the new Israel, and they are the children of Moses. Okay, we established that. What about the Jews that rejected him? Well, they chose Barabbas. They chose a revolutionary, and it was a solemn kind of choice. Let his blood be on us and our children. This was a solemn choice, and what I'm saying is that in from a historical, theological perspective, when you reject Logos, which is what the Christ is, which is reason, which is the order that God placed in the universe, he is the embodiment of that order, when you reject that, you end up being a revolutionary. You choose the subversion of order. And I'm saying that this is what has happened over the past 21 centuries. The Jews have become revolutionaries. Now, this is not a racist argument. This is a theological argument. There's nothing in their DNA that makes them do this. This is a free choice that is ratified in generation after generation. A Jew is someone who rejects Christ. How can you argue with that? And when you reject Christ, you reject Logos. And when you reject Logos, you reject social order based on Logos. And at that point, you become a revolutionary. And so what happened is that the Jews became revolutionaries within 30 years of the crucifixion. They rose up against Rome. They chose their path, and they got what they chose. The Romans came. They succeeded initially, and then the Romans came, and they destroyed the temple. At this point, the Jewish religion was definitively over. Okay, the Jews' religion was based on sacrifice in the temple. There is no sacrifice, there is no priesthood, there is no temple. The only group that has this is the new Israel. The temple is Jesus Christ, the sacrifice is the Mass, and the priesthood is the priesthood. So this shows the continuity here. The Jews cannot have that continuity, and so what they did, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out from Jerusalem in a shroud. He went to Titus. He said, I'm a friend of Rome. Grant me a favor. They said, what do you want? He said, I want to start a school. And this is the man who started Judaism. What we call Judaism is basically this debating society. It's a synagogue. It's not a temple. And the codification of what they believe is known as the Talmud. All of this stuff is newer than Christianity. It's a new religion. It is not the religion of Moses and Abraham, no matter what they say. It is the religion of the Talmud, which is basically the religion based on rejection of Logos.
Yes, and in terms of the Talmud, you reference a couple of things in the Barnes Review interview that you did. You mentioned the work of Heinrich Graetz, the father of Jewish historiography, who talks about how the Polish Jews were corrupted by their study of the Talmud. And then, of course, there is this reference to the book Jesus in the Talmud by Dr. Peter Schaefer. How do those things, in your judgment, amplify what should be our understanding about the revolutionary political implications of the Jews calling for Barabbas?
Well, okay, once the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, they had to keep the other Jews who rejected him in line. And then they created the synagogue as the way of keeping these people in line, and the teachings of the synagogue became ultimately the Talmud, which are codifications of opinions of rabbis. It's nothing but a debating society. There's nothing authoritative. There's nothing logical about it. When it comes to, let's say, incorporating Jews into a culture, probably the best example most recently was the incorporation of German Jews into the enlightened Prussian culture of Berlin, which took place at the end of the 18th century. Nachtwanderweise by Lessing is the play that epitomizes Moses Mendelssohn is the epitome of the assimilated Jew. Graetz is very clear. You can't bring the Talmud with you because the Talmud subverts all social order.
We'll be back with Dr. E. Michael Jones. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars joins us for this segment. Ted Pike will be on with me shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to give us a brief update on hate crimes legislation. You can find Dr. E. Michael Jones at culturewars.com. I strongly urge you to become a subscriber to Culture Wars. You can also give them a call at 574-289-9786 to get a print copy subscription to Culture Wars, and in particular for Joe in Florida, Mike suggests this as the best way to get a back copy of this article on Julian the Apostate and the way in which there was an attempt in the early days of the Roman Empire to rebuild a Jewish temple and the entire context of that. of course, Mike Jones discusses in that article. Mike, talking about this whole business then of Barabbas being a political revolutionary, and speaking of this whole business of Dr. Schaefer's book, Jesus and the Talmud, this Princeton University Press publication, it seems to me that we then have a yardstick whereby we can understand the last 20 or 21 centuries of history. You make reference to a Judaizing brand of political revolution that can be summarized in the quote, "I am Gideon and you are Israel." Unpack that for us a little bit, if you would.
Well, essentially, after the temple was destroyed, the Jews tried to rise up again. They had a new Messiah called Simon Bar Kokhba. He succeeded for a while, and then he was destroyed by the Romans. And at that point, Jewish revolutionary activity went dormant. It came back a little bit at the time of Julian the Apostate when he tried to rebuild the temple, but it was basically dormant for about 1,000 years. And then the revolutionary movement broke out in Europe, in Bohemia, in Prague, the Hussites. Hus was burned at the stake. A movement rose up supporting him, a Czech nationalist movement. And basically, what was the basis, the theological basis of this movement? It was basically Catholic priests reading the Old Testament and identifying with Gideon, and turning what was the New Israel, what had been the New Israel for 1,000 years, they didn't like that idea. They wanted a national chosen people, and so the Czech people were now the chosen people. They were the Jews, and these priests who were sick of the monastery system and so on and so forth became the Gideons, their leaders, and they picked up the sword. And so what you see is the key to understand political messianism or messianic politics is you're going to use the sword to achieve heaven on earth. That's basically what we have in Iraq. That's what the neoconservatives are proposing. That was the story of basically the whole Protestant era in Europe, beginning with the Hussites around 1410 all the way up until 1660 when Cromwell died, and the Englishmen were sick of these people saying, "I am Gideon," and they replaced it with the restoration took place.
Well, yes, and this is where I think your understanding of this, Mike, dovetails with that of the Lutheran tradition, at least as it was originally constituted. I believe it's in Article 17 of the Lutheran Augsburg Confession, where there is a condemnation of millennialism as a Jewish opinion. This particular line of thinking, I think, is perhaps developed more definitively by Luther in his essay on the Jews and their lies. But essentially, in the Lutheran tradition, it seems to me that maybe there were the hints of some second thoughts about what the Protestant Reformation had unleashed when they saw people like Munster, the Anabaptist, running
Absolutely.
Around.
Absolutely. Yes. What you saw in Germany was a civil war between Munster and Luther. And Munster was in the classic I am Gideon tradition. He used to sign his letters at the end of his life, Thomas Munster mit dem Schwert Gideons. Thomas Munster with the sword of Gideon. He used it specifically, literally. And Luther called him a Schrammer, an enthusiast. And basically the split that took place was resolved by Philip of Hesse when Luther threw his lot with the German princes and turned on the peasants. And basically the final battle came down in Frankenhausen, where Luther felt that he was ordained by God to lead the peasants into battle, and Philip of Hesse slaughtered them. And that solved the civil war in Germany. Okay, and Lutheranism became the basically state religion among the German princes who went over to the Protestant side. That revolution continued. It went to the low countries. After that, the Calvinists, and then it went to England. And basically what we had was a huge war over who's going to control England, basically the Spaniards fighting the English with Holland as the battleground. And then there was the Puritans were, again, another instance of the man, you know, Cromwell, I am Gideon. Everybody was Gideon for a while during the 1640s in England. Quakers, Shakers, Levellers, Ranters, everybody was Gideon. And at a certain point, the English just got sick of it. and they repudiated the whole thing, okay? And what took its place then was Freemasonry as the vehicle of revolution. But what you saw in America was there was never this repudiation of Puritanism in America. Never. And so the Enlightenment and Puritanism sort of existed side by side in America. Cotton Mather and Ben Franklin were both walking the streets of Boston at the same time. And this is what you see is now this was sort of the moment of Jewish opportunity because they could exploit this revolutionary tradition, this Puritan tradition, this idea that, you know, I am Gideon. Now we have George Bush as Gideon. He's going to lead us into battle and we're going to smite the Amalekites and we're going to bring heaven on earth to the Iraqis. That's the long and short of it.
Yes, and as the Barnes Review points out in its interview with you, Mike, the late Lawrence Dennis identified this messianic impulse in American policy back in the 1930s, and it seems to me that this is now mushrooming into this whole business of an overt brand of Christian Zionism, which in my view is clearly designed by John Hagee and others to produce a messianic or to enshroud American foreign policy with this messianic, theocratic understanding that, as near as I can tell, is providing a thinly veiled cover for a foreign policy that's being driven in this country by multinational corporate interests and by central bankers.
Yeah, it's hard to say who's in charge here. You know, I think that the Walt Mearsheimer report of last year was an indication that the WASP establishment is not happy with the way things are going. I think that in all these instances, the establishment thinks that it can make use of Jews to attain their ends, and suddenly the Jews end up taking over the movement. I think that's what happened with neoconservatism and the Bush administration. It's hard to tell. Is it big oil behind Iraq, or is it the neoconservatives? I can't parse that one right now. I think they're both involved. And the one is trying to use the other to attain its end. The only losers are the American people, as far as I can tell.
Yes. And do you think, in regard to what could be a burgeoning backlash against this kind of a messianic foreign policy that clearly is rooted in what I think you would call a Talmudic revolutionary understanding, that is the American public that obviously does not have your theological and cultural and academic background, Mike, but as they begin to see the practical ramifications of this in terms of the death of their culture, the decline of their economy, and the loss of their sons and daughters in this latest imperial war, that there's going to be a backlash at some juncture that might be specifically directed toward the Talmudic revolutionary spirit such as it exists in this country? Do you see that coming?
The potential is certainly there. The backlash has happened in other places. There was a backlash in Germany after World War I. National Socialism was a reaction against Bolshevism, which was perceived as Jewish. There have been reactions throughout history to this type of excess. My hope is that it will not be a nationalist and racist reaction. My hope is that it will be a theologically informed reaction.
Yes.
In other words, the problem here is rejection of Logos. No culture can tolerate rejection of Logos and survive. Logos is the basis of all culture. And so what I'd like to do is break through this wall of silence that the media have created over this issue, and just try and reach these people, reach the average American, or let's say the average church-going American, and say, all right, look at the Gospel of St. John. What are we talking about here? Who are the children of Moses? Let's clear this away so that we can have a rational discussion of our foreign policy, rather than this constant messianic politics coupled with demonization of anybody who disagrees with this insane foreign policy.
Absolutely, and I think it's critical, it's pivotal to underscore your emphasis today, Mike, that the reaction to this insane Jewish neoconservative foreign policy, which clearly, in my view, as I have finished reading your interview at the Barnes Review, is rooted in the revolutionary political scene that was launched with the call of the Jews for Barabbas. It was subsequently quantified with the creation of the Talmud and so forth and so on, that as you put it, now that we have reached this impasse, and with all of this apocalyptic talk about attacking Iran, that as you speak of the possibility of a reaction on the part of the American people against this, your notion that there needs to be a theological and spiritually contextualized reaction to it, not a racist reaction, not a reaction that is expressed in terms of nationalism, this to me maybe is the context of your remarks that as the world has a Jewish problem, you say to the Barnes Review, that the Catholic Church said for 1,000 years that there was a Jewish problem, but that they dealt with it in a way that was humane. Unpack that for us a little bit.
Well, the teaching, the first teaching was articulated by Gregory the Great. In other words, if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you read the Gospels, you know there's going to be a conflict between Christians and Jews as long as there are Christians and Jews. Once the Catholic Church became the government de facto of Europe, they had to come up with a modus vivendi of living with the Jews, because the Jews did not disappear. And the name of this modus vivendi was called Secret Judaeus Non. Just as the Jews, so as. It's a two-part thing in which Gregory the Great articulated sort of the articles of peace, civil peace. Okay, on the one hand, no one is allowed to harm the Jew. You can't disrupt his services, you can't desecrate his cemeteries, and so on and so forth. On the other hand, the Jew does not have a right to subvert your culture. He does not have a right to undermine the faith and morals of the Christian population. That, I think, is the formula for peace, and we've got to get back to this traditional understanding.
Yes, and as we look at the subversion of our culture, and I think our caller today, Joe in Florida, who is an avid reader of your culture wars, was getting at some of this. It seems to me that this is the backdrop in which we need to understand this whole business of the subversion of American culture. I mean, frankly, I am struck by the fact that when I look into the pornography industry, the abortion industry, the support of a lot of specifically anti-Catholic and anti-Protestant evangelical initiatives that are being undertaken by our news media and by elements in our government, that we would be remiss in our responsibilities if we didn't acknowledge that there seems to be a disproportionate amount of Jewish influence in this in the United States.
No, all you have to do is read Bernard Nathanson, the man who gave us abortion in New York State, which was the prelude to the Roe versus Wade. He says it was Jewish. It was a Jewish subversion of the moral law. Nathanson went on to become a Catholic. He became a non-person and sold with soap in the media once he became a Catholic, because they've defined this as only Catholics are against abortion. But what I'm saying here is that this is anti-Semitism to oppose Jewish subversion of morals. The Catholic Church did it in the 1930s, beginning in the 1930s. It was known as the Legion of Decency, and it held Hollywood in check for 31 years. They put the production code in place, and it kept the Jewish inclination in Hollywood to obscenity and pornography in check. Once the Catholics lost that battle, you know the rest of the story. Deep Throat, The Devil and Miss Jones, they were the ten top-grossing films in 1974. This is not anti-Semitism. This is not anti-Semitism. This is just cultural common sense. You cannot allow people to subvert your culture, to subvert the morals and faith of the people of this country, because you'll ruin the country. And if they are involved in it, if the Jews are involved in it, it's the Christian duty to oppose them. It's that simple. Nothing has changed since the time of the Acts of the Apostles.
In regard to these production codes, and you make reference to this on page 23 of your interview with the Barnes Review in that magazine, the current edition of that magazine, what were some of the specifics of those production codes that governed the motion picture industry from, say, 1929 to 1965? And then in 1965, you say the Jews broke those production codes. How did they do it?
They broke it with a film called The Pawnbroker. And in that film, this black prostitute takes off her shirt, and it's bare breast on the screen. Hollywood had been trying to do this all throughout 1964. They came up with a Dean Martin vehicle for it called Kiss Me Stupid. It didn't work. So what they did is they brought out the Holocaust, the pawnbrokers about the Holocaust, and they used this as a battering ram to knock down the production code. Did they want to just talk about the Holocaust? Did the church object to them talking about the Holocaust? No. But they used the Holocaust as a vehicle to smuggle bare breasts into the movies. This is not me. This is the Jews who did this. They are the ones who did this. They cheapened their own Holocaust by doing this. Okay? It broke the code. That's how they broke the code. The code had been in existence from 1934 when the Catholics basically forced it on Hollywood, and it covered things like, bare nudity, language, and also kind of strange stuff, like you couldn't have blacks and whites in the same frame together. Because they wanted to sell films in the South, and the South wouldn't buy films that had like that. So it was a kind of mixed bag, but the Catholics were involved in it.
Yes, and I think it's pivotal to see what you described, Mike, as the way in which this was done, the methodology behind it, with this movie, The Pawnbroker. In other words, you introduce a bit of sexual or cultural perversion against the backdrop of a Holocaust orthodoxy that absolutely no one can challenge, at least very few. We'll be back with the final minutes of our chat with Dr. E. Michael Jones when Mark Dantoff returns live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
back. This is Mark Dantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the last minute or two of our conversation with Dr. E. Michael Jones today. In the last hour of the show, I will be making repeated reference to his contact information and also his recent work both in the April 2007 Culture Wars as well as this Barnes Review interview with him that is in the July-August 2007 edition of that magazine. Mike, this is really unfair to ask this maybe as a concluding question because we just got a couple of minutes left. But you make reference to the fact that Zionist and Jewish forces were very worried. You say this in the Barnes Review interview, that Zionist and Jewish forces were very worried at the last papal conclave that somebody from South America would become pope, particularly Cardinal Rodriguez of Honduras, who said that he felt that the pedophile scandal in the Catholic Church was a quote-unquote Jewish conspiracy. What do we make of this?
Well, I think that you have a group of people, let's say the Spanish-speaking, the South American Catholics, who don't really feel that they had anything to do with what went on in Germany during World War II. On the other hand, they do feel that they have a lot to do because with the current New World Order global economy, which has erected sweatshops in places like Honduras, where the people are working for, you know, slave wages, and this is the flock. This is Cardinal Rodriguez's flock, and I think that so he came at this whole idea of what's important right now with a whole different perspective, and I think the Jews were very upset at the possibility of him getting elected pope because it would have created a whole new direction for the church. The thing that set them off was this, he was asked about the pedophile scandal in America, and he said it was a Jewish conspiracy. Now, you know, you can have your opinion on this, but the fact of the matter is that if you go to Philadelphia, the lady who was the district attorney is the board on the board of the Anti-Defamation League. Lynn Abrams.
Yes.
And she spent years and could not come up with one indictment, okay, after investigating only the Catholic Church. Only the Catholic Church could not come up with one indictment, so she puts all these priests on the web. Well, wait a minute. If you can't come up with an indictment, why are you putting all these priests' pictures and names on the web? You couldn't come up with any evidence of wrongdoing. You're innocent until proven guilty unless you're involved in a situation like this. So I think there was some justification for what Cardinal Rodriguez said there.
Yes. Very interesting. And I was in Philadelphia at the time that this was all going on with this DA up there. I was doing some post-grad work at Westminster Theological Seminary. And I know that, Mike, you went to Temple, got your Ph.D. there. Are we to see in a series of things that have happened in Philadelphia in recent years a legitimate Jewish context in which to evaluate some of the left-wing stuff that seems to permeate their media and some of the recent controversies surrounding homosexuality there?
Look, having grown up in Philadelphia, all I can say is that life in America is a civil war between the various groups, cultural civil war, and we've just got to put our cards on the table and just play out this conflict honestly. You know,
I had an experience in Philadelphia which leads me to the conclusion that at a much higher level than I, that Dr. E. Michael Jones is absolutely correct. I'd like to thank him for being on the show. In the last hour, I'll be repeating his contact information for Culture Wars, talking a little bit more about his Barnes Review interview, and we'll bring Ted Pike up in a couple of minutes to update us on the hate bill situation. Mike, God bless you, and be careful on your trip to Spokane.
Thank you. Good talking to you, Mark.
Yes, sir. Take care, my friend. We'll be back.